That's enough to thank him for. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. I am what I am by the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Ephesians 4, 15. Says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You can be seated. Speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. I think in our current religious situation that we find ourselves in, Brandon, that most people get the love part. The problem is, I don't know that we're all getting the truth part. Because he says, speaking the truth in love. Let's be honest, we live in a time of tolerance. And if you're not careful, you'll be believing what everybody else believes, that tolerance is the best virtue of them all. But biblically, there is some things that teach us and tell us that some things can't be tolerated. You can say amen, it's all right. Speaking the truth in love. Darren, I find this challenging sometimes. How do I speak the truth and do it in love? Some people love people so they don't tell them the truth. Because they love them, they are concerned about their feelings. They don't want to hurt the relationship. So they just avoid the truth and just leave it alone so that the relationship can go on. But the Bible tells us that if we're going to grow up, then we've got to learn how to speak the truth in love. Somebody sent me a video. I don't know who did it, but I got this video, and maybe you've seen it, but it's this pastor. He's from a progressive church, and he's talking about this vision that he had. And he said in the vision, Jesus is holding him tight. And he said what happened was there was a pastor who had said something that really, really hurt his feelings. And it was really bad. And he said in the vision, Jesus is holding him really close. And Jesus begins to weep. And he asked this pastor, as he's weeping, he said, please forgive me. Huh? Wait a minute. Listen, I'm sorry, but I find it a little bit humorous that this guy expected somebody to believe. Evidently, somebody did. But you're telling me because you got your feelings hurt that Jesus is weeping and asking you to forgive him? And he played this off like this was something real. Let me tell you something right now. Jesus will never ask you to forgive him. I don't care what vision you have, what dream you have, and especially not going to ask you to forgive him because somebody hurts your feelings. Porky, we live in the most sissified, whiny generation I have ever seen in my life. Amen. And it's getting worse. It's Wednesday night. I can feel free tonight. Because you know what makes me nervous? The fact that your feelings get hurt, you think Jesus owes you an apology? That guy didn't grow up in the church I grew up in. I think sometimes they wanted to hurt my feelings on purpose. And I'm still here. Jesus never asked me to forgive him because that pastor did that to me. Amen. Speaking the truth in love. We want the love part, but do we want the truth part? You don't have to answer this question. You don't have to answer. Hey, does this make me look fat? You do not have to answer that question. Have you ever avoided the question? Have you ever? I seen a guy one time. This is so great. I went to the hospital and this guy came up to me and he said, hey. And I said, hey. I said, hey. He said, I've lost 15 pounds. I said, great. He said, did you recognize me? Yeah, I did. You animal, you almost tricked me. I said, yeah, I recognize you. And I think it just deflated his balloon. Like, what was I supposed to say, though? No, I had no idea who you were. I can't believe it's you. Glad you told me. You know what, though? You know what we do? We get worried about people's feelings so much that we avoid the truth. Amen. Speaking the truth in love. This is what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about this. Truth is the quality of being true. Fact, a reality. Let me tell you right now. Truth is absolute. Thank you. It is not relative. Let me say that again. It's not, you don't have your truth and I have my truth. Well, that, I've heard people say this. Well, that may be your truth. No, that ain't my truth. That's the truth. And the example that they had in the dictionary of truth said he had to accept the truth of her accusation. That was the example. That was the sentence. He had to accept the truth of her accusation. Let me tell you something about truth. It doesn't have to be accepted to be true. It doesn't even have to be acknowledged to be true. It's true. If it's true, it's true. Here's the problem. The truth is not a thing. The truth is not a thing. The truth is a person. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. So you don't get to have your truth and I have my truth. No, if we don't have Jesus, we don't have the truth at all, because he is the truth. I don't care how you feel about it. It doesn't matter how you feel. What matters is, do you have him or do you don't? Because if you do, you're good. If you don't, you ain't. And if you don't, you can get him and be all right. Man, that's just it. That's just true. Well, don't hurt their feelings. Don't hurt their feelings. It is so hard not to hurt people's feelings. Ain't it? Oh, let's keep going. Truth can be rejected and still be truth. Listen to what I'm saying right now. Truth can be rejected and still be truth. And if we don't see that now, you're not looking around. The problem is people reject the truth because the truth comes with an expectation, right? So people reject it so that, well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Deep down you do. Deep down you do. You know how I know? Because God's revealed it to you. Let me make sure we understand this. People that say that they don't believe are lying to themselves. The difference between me and an unbeliever is they suppress it and I confess it. That's the only difference. They suppress it, I confess it. Right? Amen. Truth can be rejected and still be truth. Truth does not have to be accepted to be true. God said it, I read it, and that settled it. No, God said it, and even if you didn't read it, it's forever settled in heaven. He don't need your stamp of approval. But here's the problem. We're Christians, right? That's not the problem. That's actually a good thing. But here's the issue at hand. The issue at hand is this. As a Christian, I need to show people the love of God, but still be able to tell them the truth. Right? And sometimes that's tough. I don't want you to raise your hand, but have you ever done this? Somebody ever said something that was really wonky, way outside the Bible realm, and just you didn't really want to argue with them, and you really want to be abrasive, so you just kind of stayed quiet about it. Yes, you did. And then you walked away and you was like, did you accomplish anything by that? No. Hey, listen, I'm past that point in my life. I am way past that point in my life. People come to me and they ask me a question and I give them the answer. I think it's where I'm getting older. I think it's what happens, right? If you don't want to know how somebody really feels, don't ask a kid and don't ask an old person. Ask a middle-aged person that's still trying to get friends or something. No, Darren, every time I'm around your mom, I love it because there's no filter. There's just no filter. There's none. You know exactly how it rolls. It's how it is. I think it's because I realize as you get older, you ain't got much time left. So you're just like, you know what? Let her go. Maybe if we get that spirit, but we got to do it in love. But here's the problem. We mix up a good feeling with love. Don't we? Oh, yeah. Let me tell you, we do. Because if it don't feel good, then I don't love you. Let me tell you something about love. Love don't always feel good. Remember my story? I love Tracy, so I go to work every morning. It don't feel good. I don't get up and be like, yes, I love her. I'm just getting to go to work today. I don't do any of that. You know what I do? I get up in the mornings. I try to find my bearings and figure out where the hallway is. Can I get an amen? And you're like, here I go, back to the hole. The place I work is called a pit. I said, can we rename this like the Oasis? Maybe I want to come to work. No, they call it the pit, don't they, Dustin? Let's go down to the pit. I'm like, I'm going to the Oasis. At least I'll feel better until I get there. But you know why I do it? Because of love. Love don't always feel good. Love don't always feel good. Love is a commitment. Love is a verb. Love is something you do. Now, if you do right, there are feelings that accompany that. Amen? You know how I know? Because when you do wrong, there are feelings that accompany that too. Can you say amen to that? When you do wrong, you feel bad. Your heart's got this gauge in it. And when you do bad, it goes crazy, don't it? And then when you do good, you know what else it does? It goes crazy. You know why you push your chest out? Because it's your heart. And they're like, yeah, we're doing good. I want to read you a story. Matthew 7, 24 to 29. We know this, but I want to show you how important this is. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and what? And what? And feels good about them. It's not what he says, is it? Whoever hears these sayings and feels good about them. No, he says, and doeth them. I will liken him unto a what? Wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Y'all know this story, right? And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Okay, let's picture this. Because remember, I have an imagination. So I'm picturing this. You have the wise man over here and you have the foolish man over here. And in my mind, they start building the same day. Lowe's delivers the material to the wise man's house, and it delivers it to the foolish man's house. And here's what happens. We're looking at the wise man, and we're like, is he ever going to start? The foolish man is flying. He's getting it done. I mean, he's building on sand. Sand is easy to maneuver. Sand is easy. You can make it do well. And he's building on that. And it looks like his progress is quick, doesn't it? He's going a lot faster. The wise man is over here digging down to find something to build on. Now, if we're looking at the progress, this guy seems to be going faster. The problem is he's building on the wrong thing. Oh, man. Let me show you something really neat. Has anybody, a Christian person that you love and respected, ever said anything to you that hurt your feelings? Raise your hand if that has ever happened. Do you remember it? Has it happened more than once? Did what they say hurt your feelings and then looking back, you thank God they said it? You said, yeah, real quick. You said, yeah, real quick. I'm going to tell you what happened to me one time, Dustin. I was a young preacher, and man, I thought I was doing really good. And I'd go preach these youth services, and I always had this idea that I was going to preach. You know, like, we need to sacrifice more. And so I would have these props, even as a young preacher, I had props and things. And you know, I was like, I get through that sermon, I go to the next sermon, and then, man, God laid it on my heart to just preach the resurrection. And I studied like I'd never studied before. It wasn't really an idea for youth. It was just a sermon. And after I preached that sermon, it went really good. And I'll tell you who it was. It was Megan's dad. Shane Hensley looked at me and he said, "The best sermon you ever preached because you finally used some scripture." And I would almost bet he does not remember having that conversation with me. But I remembered. It scarred me, people, and I'm still messed up from it. He said it like it was just like he was his mom. I don't care how this makes you feel, you need to hear this. And you know what? I thought about it. And I said, you know what? He's right. I can't preach ideas. I got to preach God's word. And he hurt my little feelings. And Jesus didn't ask me to forgive him. As a matter of fact, I think Jesus may have put him up to it. Because I'm going to tell you what. When you hear the truth from somebody you know that loves you, he wasn't trying to destroy me. He was trying to help me. He wasn't trying to beat me up. He was trying to let me know, this is what you need to be doing. Hey, it changed me. It changed me. And I appreciate the fact that I got a bunch of these stories. Hung out with people that didn't care about your feelings at all. But you know what? They told me the truth. They told me the truth in love. And now when the storm comes, the storm doesn't affect me because now I've been built and planted in the Word of God because I quit preaching an idea and preach God's Word. There is a rock. And when you build on the rock, the storm will come. Listen. We were at Topsail and a hurricane was coming through. And we were talking about what we needed to do. And Jason said, "Let's ride it out." Tracy's brother, "Let's ride this thing out." I said, all right, let's do it. And it was all well and good when the wind was coming from the ocean toward this condo we were in. But when it got crazy was when it started wrapping around and coming the other way. Remember this, Tracy? That whole thing started shaking. I mean, the whole building started rocking. Shingles started flying off, vinyl siding going different places. Jason looked over at me and said, "Oh, I don't know about this." I said, "Oh, no. You said ride it out, baby. Let's ride it out." We're here now. And you know what? After the storm was done, we were still standing. Shingles were missing, siding was missing. Landscaping didn't look the same, but we were still standing. What are you saying? I'm saying when you got God's word on the inside of you, you may get a little torn, you may get a little tattered, and everything might not look the same before the storm. But I promise you this, when the dust settles down, you'll still be standing. That's what he wants. So let me hurt your feelings. Start memorizing some scripture. Well, preacher, I tell you what, I will as soon as the NBA finals are done. I promise you, that's not going to help you when the storm comes. Can I say that again? You got to get God's word in your spirit. So when this may hurt your feelings, I hope it does. It'll make you a better person. You don't know enough scripture. You don't memorize enough scripture. I don't care if it takes you a month to memorize one. Get it down. I won't forget this. We used to meet up every morning, Doug, every single morning at 6 o'clock in the morning at the church and memorize scripture. But some of the scriptures, I was like, why are we memorizing? Who picked this? Who picked this scripture? One of them, behold, I will give you a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Talking about Solomon. I was like, when am I ever going to use that? Why do I need to know that? I'm telling you, I was preaching one time, and I needed that scripture. And I used it, and God said, ha, gotcha. I know. You don't know when you're going to need it, but you need to have it. All right, you want to tell the truth in love. How do I sit down? Can I get real with you? How do I sit down with an alcoholic and tell him, man, you got to stop? But here's how you stop. Get Jesus in your life, and he's going to help you overcome that, because what you're doing, man, is destroying everything. It's a spirit. How do I sit down with a homosexual and say, they say, but it's love, it's love. How do I sit down with them in love and tell them that that's an abomination without them thinking that I'm out to get them? See, y'all are interested now because you're wondering, how do you do this, right? How do you do it? I'm going to tell you what. I tell you what makes people mad is when you tell them their works are evil. All right, let's go. Shane, take me to Proverbs 27 and 6. How many people know this verse? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. That's where the saying came, with friends like you, who needs enemies, right? Man, you're beating me up. Does anybody have that friend? That friend that you got a friend like that? Does anybody have a friend like that? They just tell you like it is? Who is it? Doug? He did. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of the enemy are deceitful. Man, that's an interesting scripture, ain't it? You know what? If I love you, sometimes I got to tell you something that hurts. The problem is, the enemy has made this generation so feely-feely that it's all about feelings. We even say this. People don't remember what you say. They just remember how you made them feel. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard that? If I'm preaching the gospel, I hope they remember what I said, not the way I made them feel. Should you be nice to people? Yes. Should you be kind to people? Yes. Should you love them enough that you're willing to confront them? Yes. Yeah, well, go ahead, preacher. I'm not. Watch this. Let's talk about it in the church. Romans 15 and 14. I'm going to show you something really neat. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of what? Filled with what? This is such a neat list, right? Man, y'all are good. You know a lot. And you're able to admonish one another. Does anybody know what admonish means? What is it? Instruct, correct, rebuke. Whoa. I tell you right now, there's some people that go to church, you can't instruct them in anything. I've heard them say it. There are people that have sat in this congregation that said, ain't nobody going to tell me how to live. Well, that's because you're not full of goodness and you don't have knowledge. Because if you have those, you're able to admonish one another. Oh, that's just it. That's right. If you got that attitude, come to the altar. Ain't nobody going to tell me nothing. Nobody's going to tell me. If Jesus wanted me to know, he could tell me himself. You believe that? Then how are we going to admonish one another? How are we going to instruct one another? The only way to do that is if I love you. What does it mean? What does it mean to admonish? It means to correct. But you got to care enough to confront. Let me say that again. You got to care about the person enough to confront them. Here's the problem, though. Sometimes when you tell people, they think you're being mean. Amen? Raise your hand if I've ever had a conversation with you and you thought I was being mean to you. Raise your hand. Robin, Tracy, Dave, Aaron, Brandon. Do you, Taylor? Well, they don't. Y'all don't count. Where y'all going? You know why? Because I love you. So here's the deal. To admonish one another is to correct one another. If I saw you about to go off a cliff, what kind of person would I be to say, well, he'll learn if he makes it. God bless his heart. What kind of person is going to do that? No, I love you. So if I love you, I want to correct you. And you know what's crazy? If you got goodness and knowledge, you'll take it. Shane didn't care that he hurt my feelings. He didn't, but did it help me? Yes, it helped me. I got story after story about that. We got to learn how to admonish one another. This is in the church. If you can't take it and you're part of the body, there's something wrong. Amen. Let me ask you this. How many people here think you got it all figured out? Raise your hand. And there's not one person here thinks we got it all figured out, right? So you know what we need? We need each other. We need each other. I've had people come to me after sermons and tell me stuff, and it bothered me. But you know what? They were right. I had a guy come to me one time, and he said, you know what? You're too funny in the pulpit. I don't care what he said. I let him go. I said, what kind of father would not want to hear his children laughing in his house? Amen. Sometimes, though, when people come to correct, they come because they love you. Now, here's what you got to do. You got to be very sensitive to the Spirit of God. Because if you go in there with a hateful attitude, it's really going to hinder what you have to say. Amen. And I have heard the hateful attitude. I've heard preachers say, I don't care if you like it or not, honey. Huh. Well, then why are you preaching? I don't care. Well, don't be hateful. What was it? He didn't know. So let's do this. I'm coming to you. You know what? You're doing something. Here's what we do. We generalize it. It's really easy to do when you're a pastor. You tell the group, hoping that the one person that needs to hear it is listening. And you know what's amazing? Sometimes after church, people have came up to me and said, man, you was preaching on them hard, wasn't you? I'm like, I didn't know. Boy, you let old so-and-so have it, didn't you? Did I? Yeah, that was for them. Yeah, all the sermons are for somebody else. They're never for us. So as a pastor, it's kind of like you throw it out there and you're preaching and you're kind of in a general group and you hope that one. That's not what admonishing is. It's one another. It's one to another. So you got to know what's going on in that person's life. And you know what? You know, some people act like everything is mystical. Sometimes you just know. You know, God revealed to me. And I'm not making fun of that. God can show you stuff. But you don't have to. You can come to him and say, you know what, here's what I heard, and I want to talk to you about it. I had somebody come to me one time, and they said, hey, I want to tell you something about so-and-so. I said, I really don't want to hear it. I said, I really don't want to hear it. That's my brother in the Lord, and I don't want to hear it. That felt so good. You know what? They didn't like it. I put the brakes on their little gossip train. You won't be popular if you do that. But you know what? Your relationship with God will stay intact because you're not tearing people down. Because it really is hard not to talk about people when other people are talking about them. Come on. Even if you like them, you jump in. I know human nature. I know how it works. And then you walk away and you feel bad. You're like, you know what? I kind of like that guy. I don't know why I was beating him up so bad. Because they were, It's contagious, right? Admonish one another. If I know, and I come to you and I, here's what I got to do. I got to pray. And I said, God, you're going to have to lead me. This is my brother. And he's doing some goofy stuff. And I want to let him know that what he's doing is not lining up with God's word. And the goal of the conversation is to get him on track. That's the goal. The goal is that somehow I can approach him and show him in Scripture. Because you know what? Some people don't know. Some people don't know. We take for granted everybody knows. How many people have been saved less than 1 year? Raise your hand. Less than 1 year. Less than 1 year. One, two. So you know what? I do this all the time, and I got to be careful. You know, I say, oh, we all know the story of Methuselah. And they're like, I don't. We all know about Obed-Edom, don't we? We know about him, and everybody's like, no, who's that? You got to be careful assuming that everybody knows, because you know what? Somebody needs you to help them. Because somebody came along and helped you. This is so good. Because, man, if we could get the body operating like this, because you know what we do sometimes? We don't go talk to the person. We go talk about the person. And that doesn't help anything. That's your brother. That's part of our body. I'm going to be honest with you. When somebody talks about somebody that goes to church here, I get mad. So you better get mad when they talk about me. Because they do. But listen, if it's an outside, okay. But friendly fire, we can't have that. We can't be shooting each other. We're trying to repair each other. So you go to them in love and you tell them the truth. So if I know you got something going on, I need to come to you and say, man, listen, I'm coming to you because I love you and I'm your brother. And I just want to show you in the Bible, this is what it says. And I want to help you get to that place because we want you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. And sometimes that don't work. Sometimes they still get mad. But if they got goodness and they're filled with knowledge, you know what? God will work through that and they'll take it. You know how I know? Because I've took it. I've took it. Some people, you just got to yell at them, don't you, Dustin? Dustin told me one day at work, I was talking to him. He goes, man, I got real aggravated at him and I let him have it. And he said, that's fine, man. He said, I learn better that way. I said, well, you know, yell at me sometime. Maybe I'll learn that way too. Let's just yell. Admonish one another. Why? Why? Because we got to grow up into this thing. We got to care enough to confront. That's it. Come on. I think I'm done. I'm at the end of my notes anyway. It's a good place to stop. If we are a body, and we are the body, we got to be able to work together. Now, you even have the opportunity to confront people in leadership. If you see me doing something that you think that God laid up, you need to come and talk to me, right? What's the Bible say, Brother Eddie? You got to entreat him as what? Treat him as a father? Is that how you do it? Entreat them as a father? When you go in, you don't get to come in blasting me. But you get to come and talk to me if you say, you know what, God laid it on my heart, this needs to happen. This works all different ways. If anybody tells you different, they didn't read their Bible. That's what I love about Eddie. I appreciate him. He's knocked me around a few times. Hey, I need to talk to you. Sit down. And I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, here we go. Help me, God. Help me. Help me, Lord, help me. But you know why he does it? Because he loves me. You love me, right, Eddie? See? He does it because he loves me, or he loves Tracy. And he knows that he's got to get. Anyway, you get it. There's love there.
Sometimes it's tough to take, but when you know that the goal, you know what's hard? It's hard on your flesh, but it's not hard on your spirit.
So let's take care of each other. Amen? So with all that being said, here's what I'm going to say. Man, we got to get busy for the kingdom.
We signed the building. We put down our down payment. We're waiting on them. You know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid when we get in this new building, it's going to explode.
Not literally. I'm talking like I'm nervous about a gas explosion and we all die. Wrong explosion.
So you know what we got to do? We got to be ready as a body.
Can I say that again? The body fitly joined together. That's the next scripture. Every joint supplies. Right? If you see a gear going down, you know what you do to that gear? You better fix it. Because if you don't, it'll stop the whole machine. Right? So you got to fix it. So we got to make sure we're good. So then when all the people come in, we're ready. We're ready. We're ready as a body. Amen? Man, God's doing great things, and I'm excited about it. You know how I know he's doing great things? Because the devil's fighting.
How many people in here have fought the devil this week? Raise your hand real high. Look around, look around, look around. Every one of us has fought the enemy one way or the other.
There was a time in my life when I was doing things, I was like, man, I wish somebody would just grab me and shake me. You ever been that way? I just wish somebody would just come and say, hey, yell at me. If you need that, let me know. We have people like Doug that would yell at you. Right, Doug? Doug don't care, do you, Doug? You let him have it. Whatever it takes, man, we want you to get to heaven. But we want the body moving together and functioning together. Don't be so sensitive.
You know what I like about Aaron up here at the piano? You know what I like about him? Me and him will sit and talk. And I'm going to be honest with you. He sings some songs that I'm like, what in the world?
He was singing a song one time. I looked up at Ian and I went. And we got to talk about it. And I said, dude, what was that song you were singing? What was that? He's like, oh, you didn't like it? I said, no. Man, it was horrible. Not you saying horrible. The lyrics were like, I didn't even know what to do. And we had this conversation. You know what he did? He took it. Thank the Lord he retired it. You did retire, right? You haven't sang it a long time, have you? Not here. You know what he didn't do? He didn't go, oh, you don't like it? Well, I'll go play it somewhere else. No, you know what? He took it. We took it. There's people that can't take anything. You know what? Because they don't see the big picture. They think it's all about them, and it's not. It's about the kingdom. I mean, I appreciate guys like that. I appreciate people that you can talk to. Jason, I've been mean to you before, ain't I? You know what he did? Not mean. I wasn't mean to him. I just told him, like, Jason, come on. There's a gift in you, man. The devil's trying to take it. Get up. Just get up. Sometimes you need to hear that. Take it. It's for the kingdom. I'm done. I'm done talking. Sing a song about admonishing each other.